the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast, my weekly podcast dedicated to all things related to health, happiness, and living better in the modern world. Thanks to everybody who is joining me this week, for those who have been here before, and as well as those who are just joining me. I think I've got a few new ones. I was just in the city of Portland, and definitely had a good time there, but more on that in a minute. Okay, just got back from Portland last night. First off, apologies to anybody who is in the routine of getting these podcasts first thing Tuesday morning, wherever they live, because I record them typically Monday nights, and rare is it that I miss a Monday night. But I'll tell you what, long day yesterday of travel, got home and just wanted to freaking have a big freaking salad with my wife, and just didn't have it in me to come and sit in a cold studio late at night to record this thing. Good for me, good for you, boom, I have way more energy this morning as a result, and that has nothing to do with this phenomenal espresso that I'm just about to drink. If you guys could see me, you know what I should do is videotape me drinking espresso, because the pinky, way out. I mean, I've got that pinky so flexible that it's just, wherever I take a sip, that freaking pinky sticking out. I look like royalty. Okay. It's always good to clear your throat while on the microphone. I find that to be very professional. If you're just joining me, you know what? Just stick with me. Okay, don't jump to judgment in the first 1 minute and 37 seconds of this podcast. Okay, that's too soon. It's too soon. Just wait for like three more minutes and then just go, what the hey? This podcast this week is brought to you, as it will be for the next, 2 months, by my race that I'm putting on, the Mendocino Ultra, the Mendocino Coast 50K that I'm putting on, the ultra marathon. Got some more signups. Got a guy who is a professional ultra runner who contacted me, and he found me a sponsor, and he's coming out to do it, and it's super awesome. And so I'm excited about that. That's MendocinoUltra.com. Also sponsored, by the way, the ultramarathon by the Stanford Inn and Visit Mendocino County, the tourism board of the entire county. They're recognizing what's going on here. Kind of a cool thing. It's a gorgeous county, you guys. Come out and run some trails with me, okay? Or just come out and volunteer for the race and hang out with me, and we'll spend the day together. How's that? Good deal? If you're looking and you're thinking, Sid Garza Hillman, I wish there was some sort of place that I could go on the computer to find more out about him, or even like a search, like an engine of searchability. And so there is the good news. It's called Google, and you can Google my name, Sid Garza Hillman, or you can just go right to the source, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava. They're all Sid Garza Hillman. Have I streamlined or what? YouTube, again, my fave, new video coming. Just shot some stuff for the Portland Veg Fest where I just was, like I said, and I'll be cutting a video for that as well. Got some new followers on Strava, in case you're just joining me. If you're on Strava, or you should join it, which you should, and I'm not connected to them in any way, but you follow me, I follow you back. That's the rules, and I'm loving it. Loving it. Just keep loving it. Okay, so what else? My website, SidGarzaHillman.com. You can get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, by putting your email in the upper right-hand corner. You can support the podcast by throwing me a donation. You can buy a t-shirt, an Approaching the Natural t-shirt, mug, or What Would I Do bracelet, which are super cool. So thanks, everybody, for those things that you're doing to support this podcast, donation, etc. Throwing me an iTunes review. You know all that deal. Okay, so real quick, the Stanford Inn, where I head up their wellness center, we've got running retreats, we've got plant-based cooking intensives, and we've got healthy living retreats with yours truly, although I'll be involved in all three of those. But the running retreats are with Matt Frazier, the no-meat athlete. There's a 15% off for the March retreat. I'm announcing a 15% off for the March retreat. So if you're hearing this and you call the Stanford Inn to book that retreat in March, tell them that you heard on the podcast, the Approaching Natural podcast, and you get the 15% off. They may say, what? But then you just go, just pass me to Sid. Just be like, transfer me to Sid now. That, just do that. They love being treated that way. Just be super demanding. They'll transfer me upstairs, and then I'll tell you, oh crap, I forgot to tell them there's a 15% off for the March retreat. That's how that will go. I already know. Know your future. Listen to episode 50. That's how that happens. That is a good espresso. Half home roasted and then half this Ethiopian bean that I wanted to give a shot to. That's important. So just got back from Portland last night and went up there for the Northwest Veg Fest, met some podcast listeners, even met a client, which is super cool because guess what I never do? Meet clients in person. Rare is it that I meet a client in person. And so, I work with people all over the country as a health coach, nutritionist. And so I'm working via Skype and phone, and we're just kind of in this ongoing month-long thing. That's my model. More on that at my website if you're interested. And so, but rare is it that I actually see them. And I was going to see one in New York earlier in the year, but she couldn't make it out the last minute. And so I didn't get to meet her face to face, but I get to know these people and it's great. But it's so fun to meet somebody in person. So I did. Somebody came out, drove 4 hours to the Veg Fest to say hi. And I spent some time with her and it was just awesome. And she's super sweet. And it was just great. It was just great. So that's a little bonus. That was worth the trip. Just that. Stayed with my buddies, John and Michelle and their kid, who's adorable. And he was the one that I said early on, he invited me to stay. It was a little awkward because I wasn't fully sure that his house was going to be up to speed. In other words, not nice enough for me. I have a very delicate derriere. I need fresh paint. I need clean sheets. It's just, it's the bar's high for me. I'm a podcaster. You guys know podcasters, we roll heavy duty. We have super nice cars, ton of cash in the pocket. We expect nice things. That's what podcasters do. I'm not going to apologize for that. Okay? I can talk like this, by the way, because my minivan has got a fresh brake light on it. No dents on that back, unless you look closely. No dents on the back of that van. I forgot to post an Instagram shot last week. So I'll do that hopefully today. Took one though. And so very excited about that. But John and Michelle, awesome. Their kids, fantastic. Remember I talked about last week how kids are super adaptable. Like you can just hand them this just random stuff, like not even toys, and they'll make use of it. Kind of joked around about that. So I'm there and they go buy, because they needed one for the house, a plunger. That they had to put a cap on the plunger. They had to put a limit on the, they had to do a plunge limit. They're like, you know what? You only get to play with this for the next few hours, but then that's it. It's no longer a toy, because this kid, he doesn't need the toys. He had a plunger. That's all he needed, just hopping around the house, just doing all sorts of stuff with a plunger. That's why I love kids, because you want to know why? They haven't gotten the misinformation about how much it takes them to be happy yet. They don't have the expectation of needing so much at every minute to distract and make them happy at every minute. They will figure out direct line to joy with very little materials. They can just be like, yes, I'm going to find out. I have a flat tabletop. Let me make this work. They're like the MacGyver of fun. They'll just craft something out of just any scrap. Here's a slip of newspaper. Here's a scrap of newspaper. And here's a marble. And next thing you know, they've got something going on. And I just love that. I love that. What happens to us as adults where we think we need just this massive amount of entertainment and direct just stuff all the time building up in our lives to keep us happy, when really we don't really need much. We need like a toothpick and a cherry. And then we're just like, okay, but we think we need way much more than that. Okay? And we all know what we do with a toothpick and a cherry. You put the cherry on the toothpick, you eat the cherry. I mean, there's no rocket science to this. At least that's what I would do. Okay, but super fun. Okay. And their house is amazing, by the way. He may be listening to this, and so I have to be very, very careful to not mention the coffee stain I left to the left of the bed on the new carpet. So at the Veg Fest, had a really good, two good talks. I mean, I think they were good. I felt good about them. I'll put it that way. But here's the greatest part about the talks is that there were people there to listen to them. And that's always a bonus for me. And what's funny is I was telling my buddy John, who I stay with, I get the same physical, visceral feeling when I'm about to go on stage to speak as I did when I was going on stage to play music years ago when I was performing regularly. And it's just that funny thing. And I always, like, I figured in music, I think there was always this underlying feeling of, I don't really want to do this unless there's people out there. And trust me when I tell you, I have performed to like three people. You know, it's like, you know, in the beginning, you're starting out, you're just like getting on stage, and it feels good to have people out there. You know, there's an energy, whatever that is, it makes a difference. And so in this sense, there was like 7,500 people maybe in the first talk and about 60 in the second. And I did two different subjects. So the second one was about kids. So obviously there was a much finer demographic there. And anyway, but I think it went really well. Great questions. A couple things about that trip. So first of all, I saw my buddy Colleen Patrick Goudreau. She's a great cookbook author. You guys should check out her stuff. Colleen Patrick Goudreau, and also Colleen Holland, and who's the publisher of the magazine Veg News. She's become a buddy of mine, and so we got to hang out. The Colleens. Do you guys remember the Coreys from the 80s? The Coreys. You guys remember that? People in Germany. What's this, the Coreys? Well, you've got to look that up. That's an American reference, and they were international, I think. A little movie called The Lost Boys. Maybe you want to run that, you know, check that out. Okay? Good. If you got nothing else from this podcast this week, you got The Lost Boys. You're welcome for that. You might want to donate some cash just for that little tidbit of information. You know what I'm saying? So the first talk I did was Living the Example. And I've talked about this before on this podcast, but I think it was like Be the Ball. And I'm talking about many, many a moon ago with this podcast. If you're on iTunes, you can only listen to the most recent 50. So if you want to listen to every one of them, you can go to my website, sidgarzahillman.com, and you can go to podcast and listen to from number one. You know, yes, I should get an app at some point that allows people to listen to every episode. And if there's people who are interested in that, they can email me and let me know if that's something of interest, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Short of that, you know, just go back and listen to whatever you can. These do exist independently of each other. And so, you know, you can kind of revisit as often as you want to keep you in the game, whatever it takes, right? Anyway, so I'm doing the talk on Living the Example. That was the first day. That was when I had the most people there. And it's, you know, it's I keep things light like the podcast. But it's a heavy subject in some ways. I wanted to hear what I touched on there, which is what I was thinking of when I crafted the talk on the way up in the airplane, but was this weird situation we've brought ourselves into the modern world via technology over time, which is that, and this began even with just like the telegraph, our ability to communicate beyond our immediate surroundings opened us up to a world of influence, a world where we can influence and be influenced by people and things and events very, very far out of our sphere of influence, our immediate physical surroundings. That puts us in a, you know, the point I made was that's a point of heaviness. Of course, this was the day after the Paris tragedy. And so it's like, we know that stuff exists, and the people at this Veg Fest know they're there because they're aware of certain things environmentally and with animals and things, and they care about those things. And so do I. But they're aware of things that they wouldn't be aware of if they just were kind of walking around the forest and knew what was going on in their present, and they were present in their moment. That puts us at a very, very heavy place, and by heavy I just mean a ton of information, a ton of knowledge that's just there and accessible at all the time, and of course the draw of knowing that. I mean, I remember when I was researching to do this podcast, which was, you know, a little over, well, it was about, when I was researching, it was about 2.5, almost 3 years ago, because I didn't even know what a freaking podcast was when I put my book out. And so I started listening to podcasts, and a buddy of mine showed me how to, you know, do it and what it really was. And at that point, I stopped listening to the news because I was just, every time I was in my car, I was just listening to different podcasts to sort of get a sense of what the medium is. But I got used to that. And then since then, I really haven't watched the news. I get it sort of cursorily from my wife or just like the tidbits of stuff that's going on. But my life has been better for it. It's, you know, the message of my talk and to you guys is not to stop listening to the news. But for me, it was out of balance with the quality of my life. Before, I was sort of a news junkie and I sort of be on there all the time. And let's face it, guys, mainstream news, it ain't all the best news. I mean, it's not the best. Like, the headline usually isn't, here's another awesome thing that happened. It's usually something that's a tragedy. I think it's useful for us to know about those things to inform our lives, but only to this end. to inform our lives in ways that we can act and relate to people that can maybe change things for the better. That to me is the possible effect. But when it becomes something that is a distraction from you and a distraction from how you want to live your life, which it was for me, I was better off not doing that. I was way better off not doing that. So I hear these things and they have the requisite response in me, which is one of deep sadness and depression and this moment of hopelessness and just what could happen, what could happen next. But we have to remember that as much as we are influenced by the world's events, by stuff so far out of our immediate physical influence, we can also influence people around the country, around the world. So we know about things so far away from us, but we can also affect things so far away from us. That gives us individually a power. That gives us individually sometimes a feeling of hope that we aren't just locked into this thing and we can't do stuff anywhere else but in the 10-foot radius around our bodies. That's a very powerful place to be, but there's a definitely, I talked about balance. I talk about balance every episode almost, because there's a balance there that we have to be very, very careful not to tip too far, because if we tip one way, we let all that knowledge and all that tragedy and all that sadness just bring us down. And we can become angry, we can become resentful, and we can just become debilitated by how much pain and suffering there is, mostly because there is other good stuff, but we don't hear about that, right? Because it's not sexy. Somebody held the door open for somebody, right now on CNN, latest breaking news. Somebody treated somebody else really well and put good food in their bodies. Just like, whoa, what? Whoa, changing the channel. And at the same time, we can tip the scales the other way, which is we can just be all about trying to influence as many people as possible all the time and tipping that scale into just like, I got to get out in the world and I got to get in everybody's faces and I got to do exactly everything I can because I know this stuff exists and I know I have the ability to influence. So I'm going to be on Twitter 24 hours a day and Facebook 24 hours a day. And there's a balance there too. And usually that's at the expense of personal happiness and health, which might sound like, well, so what? You sacrifice those things for the betterment of the world. And that's the exact opposite of my message in this podcast and the exact opposite of my message in that talk, which is we, as much as we want to influence everybody, and it's fine for us to make efforts to do so and to present facts or whatever, but the fact of the matter is it's better coming from somebody who is healthy and happy every single time. Change is better coming from somebody who is healthy and happy every single time. And that as frustrating as it feels for people, everybody, and this isn't about necessarily world events, but your job, your family, your friends, the people that you go, wow, they're just doing this da-da-da-da-da. And it's like they're screwing up and they're bad at this and they're mean to ba-ba-ba. And I keep saying, turn back around, turn back around, turn back around. Get your ducks in a row. Live the example. Remember, example isn't the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Example is the only thing. What is the example you're setting? Do you want to be like you? Because if you don't want to be like you, don't expect other people to be like you or want to be like you. Okay? It's a tough nut to swallow, tough pill to swallow, but I'll tell you what, this is the thing of my approach. This is getting your ducks in a row. This is treating yourself well so you see what that's like to treat well. The act of treating well, the act of kindness, the act of compassion is personal to you. You're connected to what that's like so that you can translate that message more effectively into the world. So there I am talking about this thing at this, at this talk, and people are, it seemed like a good crowd and people were really receptive. And I'm talking about this. And then afterwards, a bunch of people come up to ask me questions. And there's this woman standing there. And if she's listening to this, I apologize for bringing you up. But this is the whole point of like not getting what I'm talking about here. She was at my talk. And then she's standing there just to basically came up to just listen about what people's questions were. And some people's questions were, really like I always love the courage of people to come up and ask what they think are possibly embarrassing questions. And I think it's incredibly strong for people to just go up and be like, it's like when I did that talk for 5th through 8th graders and they're like, what's organic? And you could tell they were just like, they wanted to ask that question, but they hadn't felt comfortable enough. I love that because they're just like a simple question that they assume everybody thinks they should already know, but they don't know. So this woman came up and she asked me about dairy, or, you know, because I had mentioned it that in the talk that I gave that up and my asthma went away. And that's when I began my foray into nutrition research and everything else, which eventually led to my book and et cetera, et cetera. And so I just, you know, was real easy and nice about it. I said, look, it's just not the most natural thing. But again, we all do things that are unnatural. I drink scotch, but it's a tough one. It's really hard on the human body and it's highly addictive because of the chasm weapons. But ne'er could I get a freaking word in before this woman who's standing there is interrupting and answering the questions. Now, this woman, the woman answering the, asking the questions, looking right at me. She's come up to talk to me. I was the speaker. She's asking me the questions. I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach. She's approaching me. This other woman is standing to the side and is just, literally interrupting me and just bouncing in with these just canned answers of just like roboticness. She's not healthy. You can tell she's not happy. She doesn't look bright. She doesn't look vibrant. And she's just angry. And it's that exact thing that I go, I'm shutting down. I'm going, where's the Velveeta? Like, where, I don't do dairy. And she's talking and it's making me want to get cheese and melt it and just sit in it. She's making me want to sit in a bowl of cheese. That's not good. That's not good. That doesn't help anything. But again, that's why it's a tough pill to swallow, because people don't want to turn inside. They don't. And I get it. I don't either. The inclination of all of us is to be like, I don't want to shine the spotlight on me. Hence my small steps approach, because it does shine the spotlight on you, but it does it in a way that allows you to set your own pace at your own time in your own way, to bring more knowledge and engagement in your life over time. If you're highly motivated, you'll do it faster. If you're highly motivated, but you've got a lot of stuff going on, you might do it a little slower, or maybe you're not super motivated, whatever that is. But you learn how to assess that and you learn how to bring in these steps. You learn how to bring in this knowledge via the steps. You know, I always say it's like not really about the cucumber that you put on your plate. It's about the act of putting the cucumber that's on your plate. It's about the act of self-worth. It's about the act of self-esteem and self-confidence and strength. That's what it's about. And that's how you get to know about yourself via all these steps that allow you to live better and healthier and happier in the modern world. I mean, that's what this is. So I give the very talk of living the example, turning inside, and this person comes up to freaking interrupt me 15 times to tell her, this person who's asking me the question, and I'm answering. And I didn't even, you know, it's not like I go up and go, here's why dairy's bad, but she came up to ask me an innocent question because she's curious, and I think that's fantastic. And I didn't even say, give it up. I just said, well, here's what I think about that. But again, I do super unnatural stuff too. Scotch is no better than dairy, okay? That's why I don't do it that often. Okay? Good. I don't know why I'm asking you, okay? On your treadmill right now, bump it up like just a 0.5% on the incline, okay? Just because you didn't agree with me on that, and I really need punishment there. So you got to pop up that incline just another 0.5% and hang there for 10 minutes until you break the sweat. Then you can come back down and listen to this podcast again. Okay? Don't disagree with me again. You know I hate when you disagree with me. Okay? But those are nice running shorts. Did you just get those? I think you just got those. Those look fantastic. That was the Portland Veg Fest, everybody. I will tell you that I integrated a couple things. I'm not doing a dial back day today. Kind of weird, right? Here's why it's not weird. Because I don't have to. I'm not militant about it, right? Did I feel the draw like I should do it? Yes, I did. Did I do a quick check-in? Is that me? Am I militant? No, I'm not doing it this week. In all things small steps, I was thinking about this. I'm kind of jumping ahead a bit, so just bear with me as if you know that. In all things small steps, it's all about patterns. Why? Because it's all about your MOT. It's about your most of the time. In other words, if I miss a dial back day this week, whoop-de-frickin'-do. If I miss a dial back day for the next 6 weeks, maybe whoop-de-do, or maybe, okay, let me just figure out a way to get around this because I remember how good the dial back day made me feel. So maybe I set an alarm or I rearrange my schedule or I do what I can do to reintroduce that thing back in. But I was traveling this week. I had a long day. I live far away from any airport. And so I had stuff to do. You know, it was like a very, very long day yesterday. I got home and that was usually my dial back day. Today I got up and I am on fruit and I'll be on fruit most of the day. I guess if I felt like doing fruit for dinner, I would, but I'm still kind of just burnt from the trip and I kind of want to have a big old salad again tonight with Lisa and just hang out with her and have dinner. Again, talking about a salad, okay? So I'm all good. But I also over the weekend didn't do my normal integrated exercise. Again, why? Because I'm sitting in a freaking conference, a veg festival at a table. And I just like the idea of getting up in the middle of a floor with literally thousands of people. It was a very well attended event to go down and do push-ups. It's just, you know, didn't float my boat. But here's the thing. I did it when I could. There was a few times I jumped down. Few times I did squats. I did squats in the airport waiting to get on the airplane yesterday. I took the moments when I could. My brain is in the place of treating myself well whenever I have moments to do so. That's a great place to be. That's way more important than the schedule, 20 push-ups and 20 squats every hour, which, by the way, works for me awesome when appropriate. And it, again, the pattern is that most days I do that. And that's what I want you guys to understand. And it sort of made me think of management, you know, like being a manager. One of my pet peeves is managers who, like, one thing happens and they a major policy change. Something happens one time and there's a major policy change. Instead of looking for patterns, if it's a one-off, it's gone. Make a mental note that it happens. So if it happens again, you sort of go, oh, that happened again. Oh, that happened one more time. Okay, maybe this is like a thing. Okay, let's make an adjustment. But instead, it's just like, boom, that happened. Major policy change, where it's like, up until then, there's never been a problem. Why do we have to change a policy? It's a one-off. Let's kick it out the door and just keep an eye in case it happens again. And we'll start to establish a pattern, possibly. Likewise, with your steps, if you see a pattern. I mean, if I missed a whole week of integrated exercise, I wouldn't even sweat it. But if I can look back over the last few weeks and go, wow, I've only did it one time, then that means to me, I dial it back down to one push-up, one squat, whatever gets me back in the game. But one squat, one push-up, or just one squat, what one thing every hour. And that happens a lot with clients when they go on trips, the routine gets broken. And of their things, and they come back from the trip and they just like don't do anything because they've got their steps to a certain level. And then the trip happens and they sort of get out of that. And so then they come back and they feel like they can't maintain the steps list as it was before they left. So the answer to that is keep that step list, set it aside, create a new one with way less stuff just to get you back in the game. And super quickly, usually within a week, you're back up to the steps list. I mean, you're back up to the original one. Like super fast, faster than it took you to get to there in the first place. You're really just talking about getting back into your lives after a vacation or a trip or whatever. So, no integrated exercise. However, I was a two-day conference. I spoke one each day, and then I sat at the Stanford Inn table because they were sponsoring the event, and so just kind of did that whole deal. And I got there the second day and realized I had forgotten all these flyers for the running retreats and things like that. And so I was like, oh, crap, I got all the way there and I had to speak at 12:30. So I was a little panicked, but I jumped back on a train that they have, public transportation, gotta love that, and got back to the house to get the flyers. But I ran, not because I was in a super big hurry, actually, like I had plenty of time, but I ran. I ran from the train stop to the house, which is about, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile each way, so maybe a half a mile. And I was in my freaking Doc Martin boots. Like it was great. And it felt great, like it felt so good. And walking, amazing. I would have walked anyway, amazing. But I'm a runner and it just felt good to, like, I hadn't run in a few days and I was like, ah. Oh. And so I just ran. I'm wearing a nice shirt. And I didn't like break a huge sweat, but it really felt good again. Taking the moment, didn't have to run, but I thought I'm just going to jog and just kind of get the blood flowing. It felt so good. Like it really rejuvenated me. And I think it probably helped my talk later on that day. Okay. Back to business. One more quick announcement. Whatever. I'm going to start. Maybe I'll pepper the announcements through so it's not so freaking boring. Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd, healthfest.com. Okay, Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd, healthfest.com. Now, that's the only thing I have to announce because I just did the Portland Veg Fest, except, boom, Edinburgh Veg Fest has invited me to speak. That's in the UK, the Kingdom of Unitedness, the United Kingdom. Is invited me to speak, not the whole kingdom. The queen wasn't like, would you love to come speak at our veg fest? I don't think she probably doesn't even really. Maybe she goes. The Edinburgh Veg Fest in August, I think the 5th and 6th. You'd think I'd have the dates, but it's the beginning of August. It's a long time away. But for you UK people, yes. Okay, veganfestival.co.uk, veganfestival.co.uk. Edinburgh is the one that I'm speaking at. I've got to figure out how to get myself out there. I may do some sort of like GoFundMe thing if you guys wouldn't mind kicking me some change just to partially help. I may be also doing a talk in Liverpool, this group that's asked me to talk there. I might join that up and sort of do a swing thing and turn around and fly back. So I'm very excited about that. That's all just happened over the last few days. So keep an eye out for that. And that's how it goes. Boom. Moving on. So to revisit balance a little bit, because I was just thinking about it this week. And in the modern world, so I'll start by saying this. We have in our bodies and minds, I believe, an innate ability and drive to search balance, to find balance. I mean, that is the thing that we are sort of programmed to do. All the things that we make, all decisions we make consciously or unconsciously are a sense to make our lives better. And I believe better means in this context anyway, a more enjoyed, fulfilled, deeper experience of life. I believe that's a more balanced state. I think that we're not swung super far wide either way. We've got drugs on the one side and super big, huge depression on the other. It's like in between, we've got this kind of aware. I think we can be more aware when we're balanced. I'll put it that way. I think we can be more present when we're balanced. I think when we're super out of balance, where we're either super duper stressed or we're super duper trying to relieve that stress via light box foods and everything else, I think that we're less in the moment, for sure. I think that we are fall prey to distractions in that context. I think that what I wanted to mention or just to throw out this week is, in a way, we're too heady in our attempts at balance. We use our minds in ways that are not effective to achieve balance. I think we overthink. I think that the modern world we created, especially when we started to populate cities and towns and all the things that happened as a result of that, even to the sanitation of that and just the how to get along in that, you know, small of a space with that many people. And trust me, it's still happening. We sort of overthink that. We don't, in a very considerate way, we think sanitizing, we're getting dirty. You know, we populate these towns, we get dirty because of we haven't figured out all the sewage system kinds of things. This isn't now, but before. So what do? We figure out a way to kill everything. We find out a way to, you know, throw antibiotics at everything. And that's sort of it kind of makes sense. Like if you're dirty and you're seeing people get sick and it's dirty everywhere, therefore let's clean it 100%. It's like, let's swing that wide back. And I think that we don't look at things effectively enough or with enough consideration, mostly because most of us don't have the time to really assess these kinds of things. Because I think if we did, we would have a much more balanced approach to the solution to that situation. Again, it comes down to that reactive versus active state. We see this thing happening, we react and we go, that's it, just kill everything. Antibiotic it, just wipe out everything. Germs are bad. You know, hand sanitizers, that's the solution to this problem. It's not the solution to the problem. It's not. It's too, we're reacting to a very wide swing by another wide swing. I think it's without enough time to really consider, that's going to be our gut instinct, no pun intended, gut, but that's going to be our gut instinct, which is to swing wide back, to match this amount of nutty nut nutness with the whole other side of the spectrum of nutty nut nut. That's essentially what's happening. It seems to make sense. Well, germs are, if we're getting disease and sickness caused by germs, therefore let's wipe out germs. It's kind of sort of makes sense. But what we're seeing now, especially in the microbiome world, is that's totally the opposite of what's the solution to this problem. And I think it's a slow going movement, but I think that it's happening where enough people are coming forward to say, look, it's not a good idea to sanitize to that level. I mean, not to belabor this point, but I'm going on 8 weeks of no showering. I've rinsed off with water only probably 4 times in the last 8 weeks. Somehow I'm doing okay. Somehow I don't smell. I give myself a little wipe down and I'm fine. And loving the time saving, by the way, and the water saving too, seeing as how I'm in a severe drought. Just me, not the state of California, but Sid is in a drought. Has not rained on me for a long time. Okay. What you guys didn't know, this is a little secret of the podcasting technology. If you heard me take a sip of my drink just then, you gotta know, if you know, that espresso is long gone. The espresso is little. That's the worst part of an espresso. Best part, taste. Worst part, amount. It's just gone. And if you do triple to have more, I'm just my head's shaking. And I'm not even saying no, but it's just start shaking because I've had three espressos at once. But I hit pause a minute ago, and I went inside and I made myself one of those hot cocos, one of those reishi mushroom hot cocos from last week, the last packet. I'm very sad because that's a good one. That's what I like. Anyway, so I'm going back on that. Is it relevant to this podcast? You bet your ass. It's because I took care of myself because I want some freaking hot cocoa. Is that such a bad thing? It's got reishi mushroom in it anyway. So back to that. So I do believe that we have the innate intelligence in us. I think we have a drive. I think we know on some instinctual level. I think we know when something feels, I think there's a thing that in us that we, when we stumble upon something, there's that stumble word again, right? But when we stumble upon something and it's a balanced way, I think it feels good to us. I think we identify that as like a right thing without even putting a word to it. I think we kind of just know that when we, you know, are being stressed out by somebody and we don't scream at them, but instead react in a more mellow, directed, pointed, strong way, it feels better to us. Because I think the reaction of, you know, reacting to that stress by screaming is, again, that's the gut sort of like, I'm gonna squelch this stress by this amount of anger and loudness. But it never feels good. It might get some, you know, anger off our chest. It might get some whatever. But I think at the end of the day, we go, damn, I wish I hadn't done that. I think because it's a reaction instead of like, okay, what is the real way for me to diffuse this situation and treat myself and the people that I'm around better? And it feels right. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at here is I think that we sort of disconnect ourselves. Again, this is the approaching the natural, right? Approaching the natural. But what we've done in the modern world, we further and further separate ourselves from the natural. It's going in the direction of less natural with every moment. And we are paying for it. But I think it's not too late at all, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this freaking podcast every week. If I was like, every week I just came on, I was like, hey guys, listen, it's too late to change anything. So just, you know, stay in the game. Come over here next week and I'll tell you again that really there's no reason to kind of try anything. And don't have any hope, by the way, because it sucks. And it ain't going to not suck. So anyway, email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. I think we have an innate intelligence. I think it's down there. I think that we have, but what's the solution? How do we get to that innate intelligence? How do we access the things in us that allow us to achieve better balance in the modern world? How? Well, I'll tell you how. Via small steps, via stealing moments, via taking it when we can. What happens is when we work, you know, 10-hour days or more, I have a client who's working way more than that. There's not enough hours in the day, if you want to get any kind of sleep, to balance that hour per hour. You can't balance that stress hour per hour with relaxation. But we tend to think, okay, well, then I'll go on vacation because that's sort of like fully relaxed. Well, that vacation only exists for 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 if you live in Europe. 4 weeks of vacation. Horrible. Horribly brilliant is what I meant to say. And so we have that, but we can't match the stress hour for hour, moment for moment with non-stress. We don't, that's not how our lives are organized now. For most of us, we have to work. So we work a huge amount of hours in a week, just period. Human beings, just in general, even 40 hours a week. It's a large part of our day. Can we all just agree on that? Much less the people, you know, forget about the people who are lawyers working, you know, 15, 16 hours a day. So how do we balance that? Well, we balance that by taking moments. But I have maintained from day one that I don't know the exact, and there is none, but I'd like to say, and just be full of crap about it, but I'd like to say that every minute that you take for yourself represents, you know, an hour, because it feels like that. And like my buddy Scott said, you know, a few months ago, he's like, you know, the step you do in the morning, it lasts all day. That's the balance we need. If we become too heady again and we respond to 8 hours and saying, okay, the only way for me to recover from 8 hours of work is 8 hours of play, That ain't going to happen, especially if you have a job and you want to get some sleep. We can't get it. And so we think, well, it's just overwhelming. Well, if the proportion, if you get more bang for your buck by 5 minutes of deep breathing in the morning, and that enables you to balance out in ways that way over just in huge ways, disproportionately huge. 5 minutes represents a whole day of change and more engagement because you did do that thing for 5 minutes, but it's longer lasting. It's long term. And like the pleasure of my big freaking salad, which I'll enjoy tonight, will have long-term ramifications. Not 15 years long-term, but for the next day, you know, like it's feeding me, it's nourishing me. The Big Mac, not so long. Certainly pleasurable, but not so long. It's not lasting. It's actually more debilitating long-term. But the moment, it's pleasurable. Fine. But if I can get pleasure most of the time from something that not only gives me pleasure in the moment, but the next day I've got a lot of energy and my digestion is working well and I'm going to the bathroom regularly. Sorry, but that's the thing. I mean, I meet people all the time that rarely, you know, I teach people and they're just like, yeah, once every few days. I mean, honestly, that's a body just not doing anything wrong. That's a body just like, how am I? I can't clean out. And that's a huge problem in the modern world, because we eat stuff that's refined, because we eat most of our calories comes from things with no fiber in them. Indigestible. All these different kinds of fibers that clean our colons, that feed our good gut bacteria. Well, we're eating a lot of calories that come from things without fiber. Animal foods have no fiber. Olive oil has no fiber. Butter has no fiber. Refined wheat flour has no fiber. White sugar has no fiber. White rice has no fiber. We're eating soy protein isolate, whey protein. We're eating all these things that are fiber-free, and then we wonder why we're backed up, because the body can't move that stuff out. And when it can't move it out, it becomes more inefficient, more dirty, more waste-filled, more toxic. It's a pretty simple equation. But again, I don't know why I got on that tangent, except to say this is about approaching the natural. This is about responding to stresses like a 10-hour, 15-hour workday, not by saying, well, I've got to be heady about this and I have to do the equation of 10 hours and I must match that with 10 hours and da-da-da-da, but of saying, I've got this unnatural stress, which is 15-hour workday. Let's face it, sitting at a desk for 15 hours, it's unnatural. Sorry, but it is. I'll argue it till the cows come home. I can balance that not by a one-to-one equation, but I can balance that by approaching the natural to achieve better balance. And I can approach the natural by doing little things that are more natural for my body. So I could integrate some exercise throughout my 10, 15 hour day. I can get up and do a light walk and deep breathe, because breathing deeply or just taking deep breaths or breathing normally is natural for us, but we don't, because we're under stress. And so we breathe shallow and we don't take in enough oxygen and we don't release enough carbon dioxide. We can put healthy food, heavy box food in our bodies. Because why? Not because it's matching one-to-one and how many calories and but because it's a natural response. The response to modern world stress is natural action. I'll say that one more time. And you, by the way, on the treadmill, you can bring that back down to flat. You're good. You've paid your dues. It's fine. We're good. I'm not going to hold a grudge. You can respond to unnatural stresses by natural action. That's the ticket. How much of an action? Small steps. Boom. Find it when you can, where you can. When I'm on the train, going to find my flyer, get my flyers. I get off the train. I do a light jog. Grabbed it when I could. Did it make me feel better long beyond that jog? You bet your ass. For the rest of the day. For the rest of the day, it just got my blood flowing. I swear to God. I'm just telling you, the talk was better for it. I had more energy. Okay. All right. So I had this moment in the airport yesterday, where I was standing in the security line, and it was this long snaking line. You know how it is. So I'm standing there and there's a ton of people. It's going pretty slow. And I just did this like quick thing. I had been looking at my phone and checking my email. Right. And I looked up for a second and I was like, 90% of the people in the line were looking at their phones. It was, and I was one of them. It was like and it's, this isn't news to anybody, but when you have that moment where you actually assess like how many people in a group, it's kind of shocking. And so I had this moment where I just said, I'm putting the phone in my pocket again. This is taking a moment. And I felt the pull, like I put it in my pocket and I was just standing there doing what? Nothing. Just doing nothing. I was actually taking deep breaths. So I guess I wasn't doing nothing, but I was just not really, anybody looking at me would be like, he's just standing there, but I wasn't. I was taking deep breaths. My point is that while I was doing that, I kept thinking, I should get on my phone. I could check Twitter. I could get on the check my email, check my, you know, whatever, podcast downloads. All these things I find myself reaching for, I felt this pull. And it made me think again about restriction. Again, because I talked about that in both talks. When raising healthy kids, it's not about, don't make it about restriction. Make it about what you're getting by these choices. In our own lives, don't make it about restriction. Make it about what are you choosing to get? And sometimes choosing to get something means changing a behavior. But if you look at just changing a behavior, you're going to be looking at it restrictively. You're going to say, I'm not. So in other words, in that moment, in that line, I was restricting because I put my phone. I wasn't on my phone. I was not doing the phone thing. That, you know, sure, gives me joy, gives me, I guess, you know, a little distraction. But honestly, it doesn't really feel that good when I think about it. I'm not like, woo-hoo-hoo. It's more like passing the time. Except that I often always feel like, God, I wish I had more time to think and to think. Well, I did. I'm standing in a line, forced to stand still. But we got these little technology bombs and I didn't say that in the security line, by the way. I didn't refer to my phone as, I've got a technology bomb here. But I've got this piece of technology, this thing that just unloads an amazing amount of information on me and keeps me totally not worried about finding something to do, because there's a ton to do, texting and everything else. And that's cool too, by the way. But not doing something isn't always restriction. And I was thinking that in most cases, it probably rarely is restriction. It's just, it feels like restriction because of the existing habit, which is when I stand still, I grab my phone. That's the existing habit. When I don't do that, it feels restrictive. It feels like I'm not doing something because that's a way to look at it. The shift of the small steps approach is to really understand and be aware that it's not that you're not doing something, it's that you're doing something different. You're doing something different. You're taking action to do something different. Ideally, something better for you. In that moment, it was better for me not to have my phone in my pocket. I took some deep breaths, just hung out, looked at people, just kind of had this moment of quiet, this moment that again feeds me for long after the moment is gone. It's not like travel super enjoyable anyway. But I just kind of dialed it back, took a little dial back moment, just kind of chilled down, saw that there was a coffee house past the security line. I was like, I'm going to go through this and I'll still have time, grab myself a cup of coffee, sit and read a book. Boom. Just a little moment of like, this would be fun. How can I make the best out of this moment? I put my phone away. That's a big one for me. This isn't, again, I'm not telling anybody listening to this podcast to put your phone away, that you can't be on your phone. This is not about that. This is about the action I took for myself. This is to teach you how to make these assessments for yourself in ways that work for you. But again, that act wasn't restrictive. Why? Because of who I am deep down. It's only felt restrictive because of the existing habit that I had that I would argue isn't me. I don't define myself as somebody who has to be on a phone all the time. Am I somebody who is on the phone a lot? Yes, indeedy. Therefore, I'm taking steps to change that to become more of me. I'm not taking steps to not do it. I'm taking steps to do things that are more like me because it feels better and it's a better response to balance. It's a better balanced response than something restrictive or something, you know, swinging wide. It's just like, I'm just going to put it down now and then just to take some moments when I can. That's how I'm handling it. And that's what works. That's what's long term. It keeps me in the game that way. All right. Title of this week's podcast, Lego, My Ego. Look, I had to stretch. If you read it, it could look like a rhyme. And it's a double pun. I'm a little proud of this one, of the title here. Okay. Now, for those of you listening in virtually every other country but America, ego is a waffle. Eggo Waffles is this brand, and they had this ad campaign years ago. They might still have it. I don't know because I don't really watch TV these days, but it was like, Lego my Eggo. The waffle pops up in the toaster, and the guy's like, Lego my Eggo. That's their thing. And it's kind of become this, you know, we all, Americans sort of know that. Okay? The Dutch are like, we will split the Lego. We will split the waffle. You know, one-to-one. That was the worst Dutch accent. I don't even know what a Dutch accent at all. I just know they split everything. They go Dutch. So they just, their thing is like, I'll take the Eggo and I'll put it in half and you can have half and I'll have half. But you owe me if, you know, that happened. Lego my Eggo. Now, Lego, this is just me, I'm congratulating myself right now. I'm self-congratulatory right now. Lego is not spelled L-E-G-G-O. It's L-E-G-O because of the toy, the Lego toys, which my kids love and they build things. Why? Because this week is about building character. Whoa. Do you see what I'm saying? Let go my ego and also Lego, like the Lego thing. Oh my God. I mean, I should just stop. You know what? 113 episodes. I just can't improve on this. It's so brilliant. I'm shutting it down. Thank you guys. It's been great. This will be my last podcast until next week. Character is the way a person thinks, feels, and acts. It is a way that we define ourselves, the character of us. The reason why in my book I have a lot of information dedicated to creativity, a lot of my steps to creativity, which I think puts on the back burner in life. Like we sort of go like my music, like, well, I don't have time. That'll be the thing I put on the back burner. When I think that creative pursuits, that thinking creatively and approaching your life using that amazing creative ability that all of us have, by the way, all of us, tapping into that creativity is essential. It's essential. It's not a back burner thing. It's a totally a front burner thing. The ego, I'm just going to throw this out there, letting go of it. For the purpose of this episode, look, I don't really get into the ego thing. You know that I'm all about selfishness, but I'm all about holistic selfishness. I'm all about a broader sense of taking care of yourself, what it really means. And I think that ego for most people is like the fame and the money and the more base level kinds of pleasure, not happiness, immediate pleasure. So it's sort of like letting go of that for a deeper experience of life. But I'm not going to get into a psychology class here. But the building of your character is this process. The building of your character, while I do think it's getting closer to who you already are, but in a sense that you are creating this person in the modern world. That's an incredibly fulfilling process. If you look at it like that, the process becomes amazing. The building character speaks to the creative aspect of this approach. But the point that I want to make is that we as adults listening to this, or even I think my youngest listener may be 17 in Sweden or 18 by now, we don't start with a blank palette. We don't start with a blank canvas. We have a canvas that has already been painted, not by us. So it's not like we at whatever age adulthood we are think, okay, I'm starting from scratch here. Okay, let me see what I'm going to do here. Let me paint this thing. We've got to go through the process of taking an existing painting, an existing drawing, and figuring out a way to change that. That's a much harder thing than starting from scratch. If we could start from scratch, we would be like, okay, I do this. There'd be no not me of the me not me game. You'd be like, this is me. Boom, I'm going to draw it this way. Boom, here I go. I got nothing to change. I got nothing to compare it to. I got nothing to undo. I can just draw. I can just paint this thing from scratch and I'm rolling for the rest of my life. We don't have that luxury, do we? That's not in the way that our design is. We are born and we're parented or not. All those things form the actions we end up taking or the habits that we've become ingrained in us at the point that we become adults. We have to take that painting and work with it. That's rough because that painting is painted by everybody but us for the most part. And that painting can be friggin' dark. It can be Picasso nutty nut nut. It can be impressionist. It can be black and white and charcoal. I'm just taking the metaphor just right into the ground. Just be like, yeah, he kind of lost me at the Picasso thing. It can be abstract. I'll stop. The point is that through this process, you can't even erase that drawing. You can't erase that painting. You can't say, okay, Sid, then I'm going to create a blank canvas. I'm going to just erase everything and then start from scratch. You can't do that either, because that stuff, while I think it's not you, or some of it's not you, again, some of the painting may be you. You may be, yeah, if I had my druthers, I'd still do what I do in this regard because I like that. Fine. But there's definitely probably most likely stuff that's not you too. You can't just erase that off your painting. You can't just say, okay, I'm just not going to do that anymore. I'm going to create a new thing. That is the struggle of habit change. That is the struggle that I talk, why I come here every week and discuss some new things and also revisit other things, because this is the ongoing process for the rest of your life. There's never going to be a podcast episode where I go, okay, I've covered all subjects, because I'm going to revisit. This is living every day. I want you to understand how much of a practice this is. This is a practice. This isn't, if you do this step, and this step, and that step, you're done. Never, never, never. If you have to hear some similar things every week, as it should be, because you need that kind of infusion of balance to counteract what all of us are going through every week in the modern world with our jobs and families and everything else. Some good, some bad, all great, fine, fine, but it's all there, and we've got to figure out a way to balance that when we can. So there's no blank canvas. There's no way to begin with a blank canvas. There's no way. But you can look at that canvas that exists that is you and say, that stuff's me, that stuff's not me, that person's me, that person's not me. And slowly over time, you can't erase, but slowly over time, you can paint over things little by little. And again, remember, I'm still not saying to erase. That's why I always come back and say, you still feel the old draw and to old habits. You still, I still feel the tendency toward militancy. I still feel that. That means because I'm not acting that way, that means I've painted over that thing, but underneath, there's still that thing. There's still that tendency from wherever it came from. Again, this ain't a psychology class, but from wherever that came, it's still there. That's why I feel that tendency. Underneath the new drawing that I drew over it is this tendency toward militancy. But the important thing is what I've drawn over it is a picture of somebody who acts not militant. So that regardless of the picture underneath, I'm still kicking it most of the time. Again, the expectation that I'm going to erase that is a false expectation. It's an unsuccessful, I'm setting myself up for failure to expect to not feel something that I felt for 46 years or 44 years or whatever it did before I started to transition into how I've been extremely successful, by the way, in this regard. You can ask my wife, extremely, so much not militant these days. I mean, I jumped on the trampoline today. I was like, I should run. I should go for a run. I was like, no, you know what? I'm here with Lisa. I'm doing the podcast in the morning. I'm just going to chill, have a cup of coffee with her. Like, that is so not how I've been acting, but so me at the same time. I mean, it feels 100%. The feeling of the draw of like, I should go run is, I'm feeling it, but it's going away much faster. That's for sure. Will it ever go away? No, because it's probably on my canvas forever. I don't know. Don't care. What I care about is how I'm acting today. That's what I care about. And I feel good for what I've done. So in moving forward, we look at the canvas when we begin this practice of living our lives this way via my small steps approach, via this way of doing it, if you choose to do it. If you don't, fine. But if you do, you're going to look at a canvas and you're going to see a picture of you as overweight. You're going to see a picture of you as unhappy. You're going to see the picture of you as restrictive. You're going to see the picture of you as militant. You're going to see the picture of you as unhealthy. You're going to see the picture of you as frustrated that you didn't achieve success in your career of choice or whatever your dream was. You're going to see a picture of you as afraid. You also may see a picture of you as happy with your family. You also may see a picture of you as happy with your job. But the picture that you see is the one you start with. That's what you start with. You don't start with a blank canvas. I just want you to really understand that, because that's an expectation that's going to set you up for failure. And you look at those pictures and that is the moment of truth, where you look at the picture of you are, of who you, how have, I'll put it this way, how you've been. And that's the moment of truth. And that's the stuff, by the way, that is hard to look at. And so to take in this picture all at once, I don't advise. I advise, look at little bits of the existing picture in a way that is less stressful and not so, whoa, on top of everything else that I know. things that happen in Paris and all the horrible things that happen in the news every day. And also now I've got to look at the picture of my life that may not be super pleasant if I really paid attention to it. I get it. Little by little in the way you look at it, little by little in the way that you redraw it. I'm reading a book at the moment by Tom Robbins, and there's a quote that I wanted to share with you. It says, "Truth can be dangerously liberating." It's a great quote. Truth can be dangerously liberating. When we look at the truth of ourselves, at least how we've been, but again, I'll just say it again, not who we are necessarily, but how we've been, there is a liberation in that, but there's a danger in that too. And that's why I need people to understand how to take care of themselves almost before they begin the process of looking at their own canvas. Because if you understand how to take care of yourself, then you understand that when you reveal the truths about things that you may have not wanted to look at for years and are now looking at for the first time, you know immediately how to counteract that stress by doing something natural and doing something that's good for you and doing something to care for yourself during this process of transformation that, by the way, may last the rest of your life. And all the time we spend today as the not me, the diets and everything, these are distractions. These are creating something that you're not. These aren't drawing over canvas. This is like creating a whole new thing that's not you. The diets and the quick fixes and all these kinds of things. And all these work while they're still distractions. Diets work while it's still a distraction. But at the moment that your life comes seeping back in, you are fiercely returned, boom, to your life. You're fiercely returned to either compartmentalizing, squelching, or finally being able to look at you, at the canvas of today's you, and say, okay, there's things I want to change. But the distractions and the quick fixes, they work really well while they're still distractions. While we're kept busy with them, they're just another thing that keeps us from looking at that canvas and saying, where am I going to redraw first? Where am I going to redraw first? And how am I going to redraw first? Am I going to just go at it? Or am I going to just little parts, I'm going to just draw over little bits, moments and not think I've got to erase anything first. You don't have to erase anything first. There's no need to, because that stuff's not really you anyway. It was put on your canvas before you had a choice of what you wanted it to look like. And real change in our lives occurs when we pay more attention to those little details, to the little minutiae in our life, moments of attention, the stealing of the moments. That is where real change occurs. We do broad sweeps of diets and things like, because they are distractions. And when we have to come back, we have to come back. And oftentimes that coming back means the danger of that truth. It's dangerously liberating because there is pain associated with that sometimes. And so I hope that you come here every week to learn a way to introduce the truths of your life that isn't dangerous. A way that isn't dangerous and a way that isn't debilitating, but little things. And you say, I'm going to redraw that first. I've got a lot to redraw. That may be a case for you. Or maybe not, but let's say it is. And you may know that because you maybe describe your life as a wreck. My job, I feel like everybody's out to get me, but I really deep down probably is me. I have unsuccessful relationships and I've made it about everybody else, but really at this end of the day, it's probably about me, but that's a hard thing for me to put on my shoulders, and I'm stressed at work and I know all the things, horrible things that are happening on the news. But I think maybe taking deep breaths is going to help me to sort of take it easy a little bit day to day, not get so swept up in the not me, but start to paint in a little bit of the me over this canvas. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on in this world that we know about, that we really aren't equipped to know about, frankly. And that stuff can easily weigh us down, to the point where change becomes something that we think is impossible, and change becomes something that we think isn't even something, we don't even want to think about it. And yet that's where it starts, is how we think about it. It starts in how we build our own character. It starts in how we create our own character in the context of the character that's already there. It's a very weird thing for us. Transformation and change and habit change and behavior change is no small feat. It's gargantuan. It's amazingly difficult. People spend their lives in therapy trying to make sense of their lives and trying to figure out a way to live better, because it's a huge thing to undertake this. And you sometimes do need the help of a therapist and things like that. But at the end of the day, I want you to recognize and realize what I'm trying to tell you, which is we can look at the old picture and we can try to find out who painted that part and who painted that part and why is that on there? Or let's say, and, but I'd say, let's see for now, or we can say, okay, that's there. And maybe, yeah, my dad painted that part. My mom painted, I don't know, but I'm 25, I'm 40, I'm 60, I'm 80. I'm going to start to repaint that section because that section, I don't like the way that looks. I don't like the way that looks. I like the way that looks. I like the way that looks. When you say, I like the way that looks, that means you've started the painting. That means you've touched the me and you've got, okay, I got it. I got it. I know what I want it to look like. When you start to know what you want it to look like, then you can get to the process of different strokes every day to get that to where it is. It works for you and it is you. That is the work of this process, little by little. And all the while your lives are going on, all the while you're raising your families, all the while you're doing the things that you do every day, none of this needs to be put on hold. But little moments that you take each day to paint a little section of that painting create a life. They build you, the character that you already are, and it gets you there and it continues you there. And you may not ever finish the painting, but man, your life gets better for it. And you're engaged in the creative process of your life. And by the way, you recognize that you actually can create this. That's the power of this. And that's why you feel good during the process. You don't need the end game because you're now the artist and the player in your own life. That's the power of this. All right, you guys. Thanks to everybody who came and said hi to me at the Portland Veg Fest and said you were listening to the podcast. It makes me feel good, and I'm really happy to connect with people on a physical level. It's just really cool to see you face to face. Very cool. If you'd like to email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is where you would do that. Again, thanks to everybody who supports this podcast in whatever way you can. I do really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, and I will be here next week for the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, be well. Asking you.
now to be ready. Right now I'm asking you. My